great to be here, and I expect you are waiting. You're waiting for a sermon, which is true, and I have to add, I inserted a little bit, a few personal confessions, so it's just not only a sermon, yeah? Plus confessions without the confession box. The text that I'm basing the sermon on is James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. Be patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too, be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Next. Waiting. Waiting is not fun. We can either wait. Next slide, please. We can either wait at the bus stop. We can wait in line in the shop, in a self-service restaurant. Like the Brits do it, they have perfectioned waiting in line. Not so. You can do it the Russian method. You pass the line until you see a friend, and then you cut in. So if you don't have a friend, it's possible that you move backwards in the line. Yeah. mothers have to wait. Mothers to be have to wait 9 months for the child to pop out. Sometimes we wait for the weather to change. I remember I was once in a rather northern country. And we had 6 weeks, December and January, of gray sky with one afternoon sunshine. So everybody was droopy, and we waited so much for the next bright day. Some people wait for a raise, for a promotion in your profession. And children are waiting for Christmas, the open presents, as we heard. And so, and those two boys reminded me, they should see, sing the line, peace on earth, yeah, and mercy mild, banging each other. So, next one, please. Can we wait? There was in the 60s, Kika had a slogan, I want everything and that now. And I had a colleague who had that attitude, and we called him the Kika man. Waiting is not fun, and I have to admit, waiting is not my personal strength. I'm pretty impatient. More later. Why are we willing to wait? Next, please. You may wait because you are in a situation of need. You wait because you are in a situation of want. You are waiting because you are in a situation of hopelessness, and sometimes in a situation of helplessness. So you need support. These are sometimes materialistic needs or points, but sometimes they need not be. Like, if you wait for the right person to marry, took me first time several years and then 3 years in entre deux mariages, if you understand that. And of a person to show up, like the Israelites saw Moses climbing up Mount Sinai to meet God, and then they were waiting. When is he coming? How long? Do you know how long they waited? 40 days. That was the topic of my first sermon here, 40. Search the Bible for the number 40. You will be surprised how often it shows up and what meaning it has. Not the topic of today. And, of course, as Christian said earlier, we are waiting for the second coming. And if you read some, I think, was it in Acts? Christ is coming soon, Maranatha. So, and it takes already 2,000 years or more. Yeah, so everything is, this is theory of relativity. Whether it's in earthly terms or it's in God terms, the coming is near. Next, please. What are the prime prerequisites? This is, can you go back? Yeah, one more. Yeah. For waiting, we need a goal. The goal is, if we go to the bus stop, the goal is that the bus will come. Need patience. I remember when I was late for school and the tram didn't come, so I had to just complain a little bit and then it came. And hope. Without hope, you wouldn't wait. Or if you knew what I want or what I need is not coming, is I will not receive it, then why wait at all? Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. Or Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his words I hope. What can we expect from waiting? Next. Yeah. Deliverance. Verse, I will support all these points with Bible verses. Proverbs 20, 22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. Impatience, there's a good example in Moses' life. He was in Egypt and he saw how a fellow countryman was mistreated. So he didn't wait for the Lord to solve the problem, repay. He did it himself. And what was the consequence? He had to become a fugitive and run away. You will get help and strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here comes another confession. I can't wait. And here's a personal example. I was living between Stockerau and Korneuburg, and the apartment was pretty expensive. And I thought, well, out there, the traffic connection wasn't good and the price was pretty high. So I was looking for a new apartment. And I waited and I looked at the ads in the newspaper. I called 1,000 phone numbers and I visited about 70 apartments until I finally, after 10 months, got it. And towards the end of that waiting period, friends gave me this verse. Yeah. Lord will renew your strength. And said, well, where's the Lord helping me in strength? And I tell you, I think it's Corinthians 10:31. God will, or John, will not test you beyond your capabilities. And God tested me until I almost broke. Yeah, I fell apart because we sang the song, all your needs the Lord has provided. You know this church song? I burst into tears and I had to leave the service. Mercy. Jude 1, 21, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. That's very splendid, eternal life, something some people do not know about, they don't pray about, and this is certainly a thing that you should do when you get into a conversation. I must admit and confess, I recently met with a former colleague of my office, and he is turned already 90 this year, and I did not dare to talk with him about eternal life. I don't know if I have another chance. I hope he's in pretty good health, so let's see how that works out. Salvation, Micah 7:7. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Or Psalm 62:1. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. Meant Jesus, yeah? Peace. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And there are spiritual aspects. Next, please. What can we expect? We pray, you ask God for something, and there is the timing that God determines when the answer will come. It may be a yes, maybe, or no at all. Not at all. So, question of unanswered prayers, difficult topic. Please don't ask me to preach on that. You will find the right person for someone to love. Blessed are those who wait upon the Lord. On the Lord, people will renew their strength. These are the spiritual aspects. But there's a danger. You may give up and you may lose hope. And another confession of mine, I have a short temper. And I prayed for 10 years the Lord to change me. It never happened. I never felt that I improved, so I gave up. But don't laugh, Christian. There's a prime example in the Bible, in Acts, where, or was it in Corinthians, that Paul says, I have prayed to God to remove the sting in my flesh, and he didn't do it. So I'm not sure if Paul still prayed or if he gave up. No matter, but that's me. So, and now here come examples from the Bible. I must admit, there are tools that help you to prepare a sermon, and the internet is full of it. So I took the examples, of course, but I have a little bit different view in it. They took, again, Moses. Was Moses impatient? So the example that they pointed was when Israel murmured in the desert, well, there's no drinking water, no fountain where you press the button and the water comes and you can drink. So they murmured, were impatient with him, and God, and Moses took the staff and whoops, hit the rock. Rock got a real good bruise and the water came. Yeah. So the question for me is, when I think of that, there are so many places in the world where miracles happen and people made a pilgrimage spot out of it. But then they haven't found this spot yet. And it was frustration and anger. It was impatience from the people and the reaction. I wouldn't say that it was primarily Moses' fault, but the people pushed him. They were impatient. So what was the punishment for them, the consequence? The whole nation of Israel had to wander in the desert. Everybody except two persons could not enter the promised land. This was Caleb and Joshua, who were allowed to enter. Moses was allowed to stand on Mount Nebo and looking into the distance and saw the Holy Land, but he couldn't set foot on it. Then they said, Abraham and Sarah, consequences for not waiting. I wouldn't say Abraham. Primarily, it was Sarah. They were promised an heir, a son, and for 25 years, that didn't happen. And in that period, Sarah got impatient. They said, well, there's no son, so do something, Moses. Go to your maid and produce heirs. Well, he did. And this is where the problem that we have nowadays started. Ishmael was born, and then Isaac was born. But, well, decisions and the consequences are now. Decisions and division and tension within their household. if you look at the Jews and the Arabs, there's still tensions. Yeah? And the ongoing conflict is going on up to our days. Then ask you a little bit conversation. What about Saul? Do you know in Saul's life a moment of impatience? Who were the Israelites fighting that day? Philistines, yeah? And Samuel told them, wait for me for 7 days, then I will show up, and then we have to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, Saul said, well, nothing happens. Where is Saul? He didn't send me a messenger when he would arrive. No text message, I'm on my way, the time is late. Wasn't there. So Saul thought, well, I have to take action into my own hands and sacrifice. Yeah. What was the consequence? He lost his kingdom. He was removed. And even he was told that your kingdom was removed from you, and a new king is appointed. Yeah. And this drove him, as a consequence, into paranoia. You know, the fight, David and Saul. David had to run for his life because he wanted to take revenge. So Saul faced a downward spiral. His reign was plagued with internal conflicts, battles, as I said already, growing sense of paranoia, impatience and self-reliance to cloud his judgment, and ultimately he lost his kingdom. Then there's something, they mentioned this example, King David's impatience in relationship with Bathsheba. I don't think that's a good example because Bathsheba was married. Why wait for something? There's something crazy, so I will drop that. No, you think it's not a good example. Sorry. The impatient led to breaking up a marriage and killing someone. The next example is also Peter. It's also not my favorite example, but they said, well, Peter, towards the end of Jesus' life here on earth, I mean fleshly life, yeah, Jesus was already in the process of being questioned by the Sanhedrin and the Romans. And while he was carried, conducted to execution, or, yeah, Peter followed. He was curious. He wasn't impatient. He was curious to see what's happening on. And on that, in that process, he denied 3 times Jesus. He was impatient to know about the outcome. Let's put it that way. But the thing is, like in David's case with Bathsheba, when you confess, God restores you. David lost his first son from the marriage, from the relationship with Bathsheba, but then the next son was, I think, Solomon, and he took the throne after David. And Peter, after the resurrection, Peter was restored. And this is, those who know me, I like to analyze scripture on the basis of chiasms. Peter 3 times denied Christ. Jesus 3 times asked him, do you love me? And in the middle is the personal change that brought Peter to senses. Although Peter was impatient, was curious, he was restored. And if you make mistakes, pray to God and he will set everything right with you. So, the consequences summarized. Do we have a... Yeah, good. There are missed opportunities. We settle for less. Ignoring God's guidance, we choose the easy path because it appeals to our flesh. Spiritual stagnation, we miss out on the valuable lesson and character formation. Regret and frustration, We settle for what they had in front of them instead for waiting for God's best because they couldn't trust God's plan in faith. Delayed or denied blessings, we may miss out on the best that God has to offer, growth and transformation. We have the opportunity to develop patience, trust, and faith. So, now we're coming to the positive side. People who waited. Number one, Abraham. Abraham waited to produce an heir, sons, and he waited also in obedience. He performed the preparation for the sacrifice of his son. I think internally he was waiting for God to resolve the situation that he had not to kill his own son. That's this. Joseph, in the Old Testament, was in prison in Egypt, and he waited there for getting out of it. But he was rewarded for his patience by being number two in the hierarchy in Egypt. You intended harm to me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. It is Genesis 50, verse 20. Then we have Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. They were waiting in the wilderness in hope of God's promise. And the verse Numbers for chapter 14, verse 34 says, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. After the spies were sent out, two per tribe, one per tribe was sent out and they scouted, can we conquer this land? Is it possible? Is it worthwhile? And so on. Well, 10 said, well, we can't do it. Only Caleb and Joshua came back and said, yes, with the help of the Lord, we can do it. Then the most prominent example, Job. Correct me, Christian, is it over 40 chapters? Is 42 or 43 chapters? So up to chapter 38, you hear how bad Satan tested, or God had Satan test Job, and he endured. You read and you get already bored what the counsel of his friends tell him, and God, what kind of shows the inner attitude of Job is. They said, well, you sinned or something else is blocking at the end of your sickness and your situation. And Job says, I know my Savior lives. James in 5:11 says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And everybody thinks, oh, if I'm in a bad situation, I have to read Job. I did that after my divorce. But I found out after I read it, this is one of the most positive books. You know why? After Job realized the power of God, God never apologized to Job. Well, sorry, I had to test you. No, God just tells Job who he is, and he gave him double what he had before, double. And read the first chapter. He was one of the richest persons in that area, in that time. Then David had to wait for to be king at the appointed time. I told you already, there's Saul. Still king. Sorry. Well, Well, then we have Daniel, one of my favorite books. There are some great stories in the first half. They seem to be up to chapter 7, I think. Easy, everybody knows it, but if you go further, there is chaos. And if you want to know what's going on now in Middle East, just read the chapters 8, 9, 10, 11. And then you know, and you don't know what the text says. The king of the north, the king of the south, and they march, and then there's this despicable person on the throne, and so on. I probably have to study this more than before. But Daniel was almost impatient, but he wanted the exile to end. And in chapter 9, he prays to God and asks, when will the time in Babylon be over? And God sent a messenger to give him the answer. But the messenger was late, 3 weeks late. And you know what? Why it was? It was, there was a prince that was responsible for this area, for this country. And he was powerful, and just Michael helped him to get the message to Daniel. And I hope I'm biblical in that view. Every country must have also a prince that watches over us. And sometimes I think, how strong is this prince when I look at the spiritual situation in Austria? I think there's sometimes, if I look at free churches, are they exploding? Yeah, when you go to a charismatic church, they said, "Oh, we pray for the revival." There was the Revive Europe in the Stadthalle last year. We think, "Oh, we will explode," and so on. Well, the charismatic churches are the ones who grow fastest. Do they have a more faith than we have? I don't know. But also, Jesus had to wait. How long did he have to wait to start his ministry? 30 years, yeah. And then he started. And you know what the interesting thing is? When think about in terms of project management, what was the task or the project that Jesus had to finish to save the world, God's beloved? He did this within 3 years. My wife worked at the Atomic Energy Agency, and she was in a project that lasted 7 years. Well, you have to have pretty endurance to keep going. Well, Bible verses on waiting. Yeah, we have here, in general, the Lamentations 3:25. I read them. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the souls who seek him. So by the help of your God, hold fast to love and justice and wait continually for him. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And my favorite, it's the short one, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. If we think we have to take things in our hands and do something, sometimes it's just best to sit and wait. I remember one of the favorite lessons that I got from reading the book The Hajj from Leon Uris. Why I read that was a friend of mine, he was a businessman, and he traveled to Southeast Asia, to Malaysia. And you know, this is a Muslim country. And the discussion one evening was about Middle East and the difference between Christianity and Muslims. And the Muslim said, if you want to understand us, read the book, The Hajj. It's about a Palestinian and a Jew. And I tell you, it's right. And it's written by a Jew. And what did this Palestinian do? You know, the old patriarchal society. Every week, he took time to walk away from daily business, sit on the hill, and look back on the week and think, what did I experience? What did I learn? We should do that. Our calendar is so full that we don't do this. The best thing for me when I want to really relax and refresh, I have to hike in the mountains. The only thing I'm concentrating is on the next step. And when I'm on top, I sit down and look into the country. In German, ins Land anschauen. Well, then we have, you know that probably, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You may know this by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So what do we gain from waiting? It develops character, courage and strength, patience and persistence. Seek the right goals and motives in life, have an eternal perspective, expectation, and eagerness. And how to overcome impatience? First, hope in general. You need that. I told you already, we wouldn't wait. Waiting on the Lord in all situations for his timing, for his second coming. And personal experiences of, well, after you finish your education, you want to get a job. I had to wait for the right job. I made a decision and my whole Christian friends, well, great, we pray and I really got the job. But after 10 months, the job was terminated. So waited another 3 months. I was unemployed, which was not a fun time. But then I got a job that was perfect for my education. And at that time, this was the end of the 70s, a physicist, which I am, had not a good perspective because in the end of the 50s, in the 60s, all the bright physicists went to the States, made a career, and in the 70s, the whole wave swapped back, and this when I finished, so there were too many physicists on the market. But God reserved a spot for me in a company, and I really could do what I studied as a physicist. Normally, the physicists end up in electronics or in data processing. I was in two-phase flow and so on. Well, then, as I told you about the chase for an apartment, then at some point, my mother-in-law decided or asked us if we could house her here in Europe. My wife is American, and it was a little bit expensive. And in the States to find a home for senior citizens, and the brothers had no opportunity or not a good situation to take care of her. So she said, can I come over? Well, we said, yes. We just, when do you want to come? Well, in 2 weeks. Okay, excuse me. She was on vacation on that day. But she came a week later, and she was living with us 4 years and 4 months. And very often she said, I'm waiting for the Lord to take me home. You know, when you're around 90, you're getting fragile and so on. She waited. And now my family is waiting for the end of a court case. It's about custody of my daughter. We're waiting already 4 years and a half. Still going on. It kind of wrecks our peace. My daughter, who is the main person in that court case, is short of a burnout. Well, now we come to the time of Advent. Israel's time of waiting. Coming back to the really big topic. And you know, Israel had a splendid time. The time of David, Solomon, the kingdom, the United Kingdom, they prospered, and Solomon was the wisest and richest man at that time. But then they fell apart. They misbehaved, they sinned, and God first took them. northern kingdom by the Assyrians, then the southern kingdom by the Babylonians. Oops. What was about the promise? I will give you the land from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean Sea. Was this fulfilled? No, the hope was gone. But there was still a prophet, Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, favorite verse for this time, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So a governor is, or a counselor, government is promised. For a government, you need land. Yeah, you need borders, you need territory. Well, where's that? If you're in exile, bleak outlook. But people had hope. Yeah, they were allowed to return to their land. And then, after Micah, the last prophet, there was 400 years silence. And I tell you, if someone doesn't speak, it's not fun. You get insecure. A friend of mine said, worse than silence is electronic silence. Yeah? You send an SMS or an email, and there's no answer. I have this with my spiritual mentor. I haven't talked to him for a while. Sent him an email, and there's no answer. I have to wait. Well, but when the time was right, Galatians 4:4, God sent Jesus Christ. The time has to be right. So, again, God's timing is important, and you have to wait for that, hope for that, and endure. And summary scripture, next please. Yeah. Therefore, be patient, in verse 7, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for precious produce of the soil, being patient until it gets early and late rains. Here's, of course, until twice, and in the middle, you wait and be patient. Nothing else. Wait. You too be patient, James says to the readers, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren. He should tell this to the Viennese. I call them open-air complainers, in contrast to the open-air campaigners, which are evangelists. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. Here's the reward. You are blessed when you endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. So, and summary for us. Well, waiting is not fun. We know that already. Waiting takes time. Use the time to let God work in you and in the circumstances around you so that the goal is reached finally. Hope for a valuable lesson. Count yourself blessed that you know Jesus the Messiah. You do not have to wait anymore except to celebrate Christmas Eve. So, one more. Some of you asked me, are there drawings? Well, this is the only drawing. I was starting on a drawing, and you know, sometimes it happens with me. I have to admit, also a confession, I like to draw pictures. But the problem is, I have the picture in my head, and I can't get it on paper the way I like it. And my art teacher said, well, you're a perfectionist. So this is why it happens. But this is sometimes do it quickly. And the one that I wanted to include here is not done yet. So maybe next year.